Turn with me to 2 John. 2 John. And I had a prayer request this evening, and of course we always have people to pray for, Helen, and continue to pray for Steve and Dan Culver. Everybody here knows Dan Culver. He preached down here a lot. He had open heart surgery Monday morning. They found him with a bunch of blockage Sunday afternoon because he got to acting strange and he wasn't getting enough blood. His wife took him to the emergency room, and first thing Monday morning, he had open heart surgery. So grateful that he didn't have a heart attack too. So remember Dan, he's the pastor of Wheelersburg Grace Church where Charlie Pennington was. Charlie got sick and wasn't able to continue. And the neighbor, Ruby's neighbor, and Albert and Barb's neighbor, they requested prayer for. I'm going to read this whole 13 verses and then deal with just a few of them tonight. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that ye lose not those things which ye have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Let's bow. Here in 2 John, there ain't but 13 verses. And in 3 John, there's 14. But the subject tonight, the things that I want to look at and deal with, is found there in truth and love. Truth and love. John's an old man now. He's way, way up in his 90s. They've tried to kill him, and he's exiled to the Isle of Patmos in his last days, but he's probably writing here from Ephesus, from what I can understand. But he's an old man, and he's outlived every one of the apostles. All the apostles, he's outlived them all. He outlived James and John, and outlived Peter and Matthew and Jude. He outlived all of them. But he had a pastor's heart. When you read his letters, he had a pastor's heart. He is an elder, and he loved Christ. He loved the truth. He taught the truth. And he loved the Lord's people who loved the truth and knew the truth and believed the truth. These two epistles are personal. They're addressed to persons, personal people. Addressed to certain people and the saints who met together that he knew. The first one's to the elect lady. The second one down here, 3 John, he writes to the well-beloved Gaius. So these are writing, he picked somebody, people that he knew personally. He wrote these little letters to. But they both of them have stern and serious warnings about false teachers and preachers. That's what he said in verse 7. After knowing the truth and loving the truth, many deceivers are going out into the world. And I say, he warns us, don't you ever, ever turn from the doctrine of Christ. Don't ever, ever even say God bless somebody who's not preaching the doctrine of Christ if you ever hear him preach. Don't say the Lord bless you if he's not preaching the truth and not preaching the gospel. You know, it's like a fella, you know, a guy goes in with a gun, robs a bank. Two or three go in and rob a bank. They hold the gun. But that guy in the getaway car is going to go to jail just as much as them fellas took the guns in the bank. And that's the way it is if we acknowledge and ask God to bless somebody that's not preaching the gospel. That's the same thing John's talking about here. And they have serious warnings. And he warned about some things that was going on here where Gaius met with the people. But he addresses here, said, unto the elder, unto the elect lady and her children. And here he comes to address a certain woman. Don't tell us her name. Don't tell us her age. Don't even tell us where she lives. And I tell you, and her children. And you know, you think that's kind of strange. Well, no, in Christ there's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ. Christ views us all as members of his body. And our Lord gave special attention to women and ladies in his ministry. On this earth, you remember the Samaritan woman at the well. Our Lord had a conversation with her, and it shocked his disciples that he was talking to a Samaritan. She was shocked that he was a Jew and would talk to a Samaritan. But he did, and saved her by his grace. And look how he treated Mary and Martha. The scriptures tells he loved them. And he ate in their home different times. And look what he did with the woman with the issue of blood. He turned around and spoke to her. And the Syrophoenician woman that brought her daughter, grievously vexed with the devil. So he always had a special relation and treated women and done things for women. And after his resurrection, you know who the first person he appeared to? It was Mary. And when he called her name, and then you know what he said? Now you run to Galilee and you tell my brethren, tell my disciples that I'll meet them there. And that's the she went and told the disciples, Christ said he's going to meet you over here in Galilee. And then he said, and tell Peter too. I want Peter to be there too. So you see, and then you look in the Old Testament when he talks about here the elect lady, a certain woman, not mentioned her name, where she's from or nothing. But there's Miriam, Moses' sister. And Ruth. Who could not remember Ruth? Who couldn't remember Ruth? And then there's Deborah and Esther that saved the Jews. And then in the New Testament, there was Dorcas. Remember how they prayed? She died and everybody was talking about what a wonderful lady was and all the things that she had done and they told her, holding all the stuff and things she'd done. And Simon Peter raised her from the dead. And then Lydia, whom the Lord's heart opened. And Priscilla. And then there's Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. So the scriptures talks about women. And here John, the Lord Jesus Christ, was pleased to honor and distinguish by his blessed grace a certain woman here. By having a letter by an apostle addressed to her. Addressed to her. And it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And look what he says here now. Here's what John says about himself. He says the elder. He says the elder. Now he may be talking about his age because he was an old man at this time. Or maybe he's just talking about his office. That's what you know. A lot of people refer to their office as elder. And you know, I'm an elder. And Peter talked about the elders to feed the church of God. And also, you told he could be referring to his office or age. It didn't make any difference, but it's still, he's an old man, and he's also an elder before all the other people. And then look what he says, to the elect lady and her children. To the elect lady and her children. He's even addressing her children. And there's no sense in us speculating who this is. Whether she's a widow or not. But she's addressed as an elect lady. And we know no more about her than what God's word tells us about her. I was reading some different people today about this. And one man believed that it was Martha because of the way a word in there was. But he knew the Greek word for it, and he said it's the same word as Martha. I don't know Greek, so I don't know. And I do know this, that it says an elect lady and her children. And that's enough for me, ain't it, you? But here's what we know about her. She's one of God's elect. He said, this elect lady, she is one of God's elect, chosen by his grace to eternal life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says in the last days, he said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to send my angels, and they're going to gather my elect. They're going to gather my elect from the four winds under heaven. Oh, listen, Christ's going to send his angel, gather all of his elect from east, west, north, and south, whichever way, he's going to bring them all together one of these days, and bless his name. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And Noah, how do you know she is elect? Look over here in 1 Thessalonians with me. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. She was a elect lady. Called her a lady. Elect lady. And look what it says here about Paul. He said in 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How do you know they're elect? Because the gospel came to you. How did it come to you? It come in power. It come with the power of God. It come with the Holy Ghost. It came in the power of God and pierced your heart, pierced your understanding, took away your prejudices and broke down everything that was against God. He tore it down through the gospel. Through the gospel. And so you see, people know, they can know. And John here knew that she was elect, knew that she was one of God's blessed elect. And that's what he called her, to the elect lady and her children. And then it says, you know, talked about her children. And evidently her children were grown. Look what it says down in verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Walking in truth. So evidently her children were grown. And evidently her children had made a profession of faith. A profession of the gospel. A profession of the truth. And the scripture says they walked in that truth. They lived that truth. They continued in that truth. But look what he says about this elect lady back up in verse 1. And her children. Whom I love in the truth. And what he's saying is whom I love truly. I love her, and what he means is that I love her from my heart, and this is from the heart. Look what he says down here in verse 1 of 3 John. Says the same thing. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Oh, he loved these people, loved the saints of God, loved the people of God. Now listen, I want to turn over to 2 Thessalonians. I want you to show something. You know, loving the truth and having the truth is something, beloved, that everybody don't have and don't want. Don't want. You know, love and truth go together. He said, whom I love in the truth. Love and truth. If you love somebody, the truth, if you get truth in you cause you to love them, and the love that you have for them and the truth, love and truth go together. If you love the truth, you love those who know the truth and rejoice in the truth and believe the truth. And look what he said here in 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse 10. Look what he says here. Now this is what God's going to do about people that don't receive the love of the truth. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know how many people hear the truth but don't receive the truth? And not only don't receive it, but don't love it. But oh, to love the truth. If God ever gives you the truth, know the truth and the truth will set you free. If God ever blesses you with the truth, and he takes and shows you that everything you believed up to the time he showed you the truth was a lie, was a false profession, was a false hope, and he takes you and shows you the truth about Christ, the truth about yourself and your sin. Oh, sin, you don't have to go. You know, people, we don't sin like we did when we was unconverted, but we sin in all our minds and our imaginations and our thoughts and intents, the things that goes on inside us. It's awful what goes on inside us. And we didn't know that until God told us the truth and showed us the truth. We thought sins were something if we could just stop our sins, we'd be okay. But sins is not our problem. Sin is the problem. S-I-N, sin. And that's what God makes a fellow understand. Preachers are going around trying to get people to stop sinning, and God saves a man and deals with the sin. People talk about heaven and hell. You know, you don't want to go to heaven, do you? You don't want to go to hell. Of course, nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But heaven and hell is not the issue. Christ and sin's the issue. Christ come here to do what? To deal with sin. To save sinners. Well, anyway, go on down here and say that because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. He's talking about love and truth over there. And look what God does to these people. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that instead of loving the truth, they should believe a lie. Oh, my goodness. Believe a lie? And listen to this. It goes one step further. Not only if they don't receive the love of the truth, God's going to send them a strong delusion to believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But listen to what he says to God's elect. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you through to salvation through, listen to this, sanctification of the Spirit. And what? Belief of the truth. Oh, the truth is important. The truth is necessary. Truth is necessary. Back over in our text here. And like I said, love and truth go together. And he said, whom I love in the truth. And look what he says now. And he says here in verse 1, after whom I love in the truth. And look what he says, and not only I love her in the truth, not only I love the elect lady and her children, but also they that have known the truth. Everybody that knows the truth loved this woman and knew her children, and they knew the truth, and they loved her for the truth that she had and the truth that they both loved together. Huh? Oh, listen. All who know them, and that's what he's saying here, everybody who knows this elect lady and her children recognize and understand the truth as it is in Christ, and they love them people for it. They love them for it. Now, the scriptures tells us that we're to do good to all men, but especially to them who are the household of faith. Oh, my. I tell you, and boy, to be able to love and do for the elect, to do something for elect. Our Lord Jesus put it this way. He said, if you give as much as a cup of cold water in my name, you won't lose your reward. Just a cup of cold water. To who? One of his elect. One of his people. And let me tell you something. And they said, so here in this first verse, it says, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. In verse 2, look what he says. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us shall be with us forever. You know how many times the word truth occurs here in the first four verses? Five times. Five times truth appears here in five verses. Huh? And when he talks about the truth, he says, for truth's sake which dwelleth in us. Truth dwells in us and shall be with us forever. So what's he saying here? Not only does this truth dwell in us, but the truth will be with us and abide with us as forever. Not just here, but forever. Truth ain't going to change when we leave this world. But oh, look what he goes on to say here. But what he's talking about, he's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of Christ. And you can't separate the truth. You can't separate the truth. Christ and the doctrine of Christ. If you have Christ, You got his doctrine. If you got his doctrine, you got Christ. And let me show you something. You know, it said, our Lord Jesus said, John said this about him. He said, Christ came full of grace and what? Truth. Truth. Keep this and look in John 18:37. Look what our master said. Look what our master said over here. John 18:37. This is what our master said about people. John 18:37. You know, when he talks about the truth dwelling in us and dwelling in us forever, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth that we know about him and the doctrine of Christ that's in us. But look what he said here in verse 37. He's before Pilate. Pilate's fixing to turn him over to the mob. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Now listen, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now watch what he says. I come here to bear witness to the truth. And listen to this now. Everyone that is of the truth, what does he do? He hears me. He hears me. And so when we hear Christ's voice, we know we're hearing the truth. We hear him in the gospel. We hear him in his word. Oh my. And truth to John was not just a mere fact or some facts. You know, this, if you got your A, B, C, D, E, F all in a row, yeah, that may be some truths. But the truth itself, the body of truth, all the truth contained in this blessed book. To John, it was not just mere facts or a theory about Christ, but the truth to John was Christ himself. That's what truth was to him. Our Lord Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the truth. You won't look for truth? Look no further than Christ. Then I'm the life. And oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the Father seeketh such to worship in spirit and in truth. And so he says here, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us. Christ dwells in us. And it says, and he shall be with us forever. And he will be with us forever. Christ will be with us forever. And then he talks about the truth's sake which dwelleth in us. The word of Christ dwells in us. And when he dwells in us, it's an inward principle of the grace of God in us. You know, John 17:17 said, Father, sanctify. How are you going to do it? With thy truth. That's how he sanctifies us. That's how he separates us. With the truth. He just keeps bringing the truth. And how many of y'all come here? How many times have you come to one of these services and say, Lord, speak to me tonight. I need you to speak to me tonight. I need to hear from you tonight. Or you come in trouble and you say, Lord, please have mercy on me and do something for me in this service today. Speak to me. And what is it that speaks to you? It always is the truth. The truth always, always sets you free from whatever's going on in your heart, your mind, your life, your soul, your problems. The truth always does it. But then look what he goes on to say in verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. This is the same salutation that almost used by other apostles. They would say, grace and peace be unto you. But here he adds mercy, grace, peace, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father. And this is a salutation especially used by the Apostle Paul. But here, it's only added with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. Look what he says. Grace, peace be with you from God the Father. Now listen to it. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. John made so much about Christ being the Son of God. Made so much about it. James brought in a little old folder this evening. There's a bunch of books for sale. And one of them with the title that they was trying to sell the most was, and this is the subject they was trying to sell and going to sell to people, How Jesus Became God. Like he came here and done something to become God. He was God before he came here. He is God while he's here. He was God in the tomb. He was God when he raised. And he's God sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. He's the God man. And that's what he said. He's the Son of God. God, and that, how many times did John, this is something that John, it was so close to his heart. It was a special issue to John. And he dwelt with this so frequently in all of his writings. In fact, in John chapter 10, twice it says that they picked up stones to stone him. He said, why are you going to stone me? Because thou being a man, makest thyself the Son of God. And that's the issue. People, you know, they could stand that if he was a man. They didn't have no problem with him being a man. They didn't have no problem with him performing miracles and doing great works and even raising the dead. But if he is the Son of God, and he was God's only Son that dwelt with him in eternity and came into this world as God's Son, as God's representative, as God's spokesman, and when you seen him, you seen God, then that became a different issue between you and God right then and there. Because what you're saying is, I don't believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's a miracle worker, but he's not the Son of God. Now, beloved, John says, you know, this, he that is born of God believeth that Jesus is who? The Son of God. And like that old blind beggar boy Sunday morning, I said, you know, and he said, dost thou believe? And this is what he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? He said, I just speak unto thee of me. I believe! And fell down in worship. I believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son, the only Son he had. And why he came into this world was so he could have a body. God sent him here to speak the truth about God. The Pharisees had so took the truth of God and the character of God, and religion had dishonored God. The Pharisees, they made Sabbath to be their God. They made works to be their God. They made washings to be their God and tithe paying to be their God. And then when God came in Christ, they hated him and crucified him. And beloved, if he's not God's Son, he has absolutely been the greatest imposter that's ever been on the face of the earth. But he is God's Son. And that's what John, it's a great issue with him. And oh, that's why he's talking here about grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. And look what he says now. The Son of the Father in truth and in love. He's the Son of the Father in truth, and he's the Son of the Father in love. Oh, and oh, he talks about truth and love. John is called by some the apostle of love because he spoke about it so much. And these two words, truth and love, are repeated in his epistles, and especially in this epistle. And I tell you, beloved, these are noble and natural companions which can't be separated on this earth any more than it can be in heaven. Truth and love go together. And truth and love is what binds the believers together. And truth and love is what binds us to Christ. Truth and love is what was given to us in Christ. And oh, beloved, you can't. There's not a more noble and natural companion than truth and love. You know, God is light. That's the truth. That's what we call the truth. That's the truth. God is light, holiness, truth. And then God is love. God is love. Truth and love. And the family of believers, God's blessed elect, God's family of believers, ought to be united, be as one. And let me tell you, truth, and you all have seen this before, truth without love, becomes stern, becomes cold, even sometimes it becomes cruel. Ah, truth without love, cold, stern, cruel sometimes. And love without truth, if it was possible to have love without truth. Love without truth would be unstable. It would be without a foundation. It'd be based strictly upon emotions. But boy, truth and love go together. And oh, and then he said, look what he says now in verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. I rejoiced greatly. Here's this old man. Here's this old apostle. And he says, this brought great, great joy to my heart to find the children of this dear woman, this dear elect sister, this woman that he wrote this letter to, this epistle to, walking. What does he say? Walking in truth. Walking in the truth. Not just acknowledging the truth, not just professing the truth, but walking in the truth, living day by day by day, walking in the truth, walking in it, living in it, partaking of it, and going on with it. And this living in the truth and walking in the truth continually and progressing in that truth, progressing in truth and progressing in the attitude of truth and love. And all their conversation, all these things revealed that Christ was in them because they walked in the truth. They walked in the truth. You see, beloved, as we have received commandment of the Father, they not only professed to know Christ, these children of this lady, they not only professed to know Christ, but their conduct and their conversation revealed that they had a living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I rejoice that they walk in the truth. And look, and he says, and we have received a commandment from the Father. What is this commandment? Again, it is, brethren, love not in word and tongue only, but love in truth and in deed. And oh, this is almost then. Look what he says here in verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is almost identical, and you look at it with me in 1 John 2, 7 and 8. Almost identical to what he says here. And you know, he's quoting where our Lord said in John 13, 35, this is the commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And so what he says here in John 2, 7 and 8 is this. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you had from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing in him is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. And he says now back over here in verse 5 of chapter 2nd epistle, he said, I beseech you, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which you had from the beginning, that you love one another. This is that commandment that he talked about over in his other epistle. And he says, this is no new commandment. And what he means by that is, this is no new commandment from Christ. There's no new commandment formulated by the Lord Jesus Christ and brought into effect recently. No, no. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So his commandments and his teaching is always the same. It never changes. And so when he says here, this commandment to love one another, when he says it's a new commandment, it's not as though I wrote a new commandment. But I'll tell you what it is the commandment to love one another is newly explained by him. It's expurged from the error of the Pharisees. He says, when they said, we ought to love, you know, love them that love you and hate them that hate you, our Lord says, that's not the way it is. No, no, that's not the way it is. And then not only is it newly explained by him, but newly exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ in his love for us. Oh, how he loved us, having loved his own which were in the world. And not only newly explained and newly exemplified, but newly enforced. Oh, the commandment that we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And that's why John asked this question, how can a man love God and not love another? And that's what he means. That's what he means. And then in verse 6, and that's where I'm going to quit. This is where I wanted to get to. Do these first 6 verses. And this is love. This is the love that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. We walk after what Christ said. What he says, we obey. What he tells us to do, we do. As much as God will in his grace allow, this is the commandment, that as you heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Walk in what? Walk in love. Walk in truth. And what he's talking about, this is active. It's not just sitting back and saying, well, you all know I love you. This is active he's talking about. You know, actively obeying, actively walking in truth, actively walking in love. And that's what he's talking about. And oh my, I tell you something. A lot of people have a lot of warm feelings. They have a lot of warm feelings. They'll go and have warm feelings toward God. They'll have warm feelings towards people. But warm feelings don't mean diddly. It's God putting love and truth in your heart and then walking in it. Walking in it. And that's what his children did, and that's what John said for us to do. Walk in this commandment. This is the commandment. You love one another. Believe the truth and walk in it. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ, thank you for the truth. Oh God, we rejoice in the truth. Oh, blessed your holy name that you gave us truth. Oh Lord, we delight in your truth. We want your truth. David said, save me for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Oh Lord Jesus, help us by your grace to walk in the truth, to walk in love, to obey you, walk upright before you, desire your will, desire your word, bow our hearts before you, find you to be our all in all. And Lord, let us not just love in word only, but let us love in deed, let us love in truth. Lord, we want to manifest the Spirit of Christ, our Lord, in these things. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.